What does it look like for a dad to be a spiritual leader in his home? Jared Lopes says it looks like more than leading a 15-minute devotional every day.
For sure, do the 15-minute devotional time, but they also need a daddy who's going to, in every situation, be trying to figure out what is the lesson that I can point my kids back to Christ in this moment. And that's what Jesus did. It wasn't just let's sit down and study the scriptures for 15 minutes. It's let's walk and talk. And as we're walking and talking, let me show you about the kingdom.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. To be the kind of dad who can engage with his kids on spiritual matters throughout the day, throughout their lives, means you've got to be a dad who is feeding on God's word yourself. We're going to talk more about that today with Jared Lopes. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So I'm just curious, when did you feel like Dave kicked in as a dad? How many years into being a dad did he go, oh, I got a job to do here. I should get engaged.
Yeah, I think it was probably after he was engaged. He would help me. But when he really kicked in was probably after our third, like, I cannot do this. I have to have your help. And yeah, I feel like Dave just kept getting better and better. But he didn't have a dad or a role model.
Right.
And I think I was judging him and I had expectations of what he should do or be like.
Oh, yeah.
Without realizing he had no idea how to go about doing this.
Yeah, it's been a while, Bob. But I do remember going to guys in our church that were, in my opinion, great dads. Mm-hmm. And I sort of evaluated that by looking at their teenage kids and thinking, man, if my son or daughter looked like that at 15, 16, 18 years old. So I would buy them lunch. This is back before digital days. I'd have a little piece of paper and I'd say, okay, talk to me about being a dad. Mm. And I started to see common denominators. And one of them was they prayed. I remember thinking, man, these are men of prayer for their kids. This isn't something they say, they actually do.
And you made the decision at that point that you were going to set aside a day a week?
Yeah. I mean, that was when my first son was born. He's 33 now. I decided one day a week I'm going to fast and pray. Not that I didn't pray the other days, but I'm not going to eat on Fridays until sundown. And all day long, I'm going to pray for those boys and their wives someday and my grandkids that I now have names for. Mm. As you can imagine, standing there as their dad and the pastor of their wedding ceremony, looking at a girl I had been praying for before she was born.
Yeah.
Was pretty powerful.
When you say set aside Friday, don't eat anything till sundown, so no breakfast, no lunch, no snacks in between, and spend the day praying, were you taking the whole day and praying, or were you just praying like when you'd feel hungry for a snack, you'd say, that's a prompt to prayer?
Yeah, my hunger pangs were prayer pangs.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you were working that day too.
I'd work. I worked out. It was a normal day, but it was sort of a sacred moment for me. And if I couldn't do it on a Friday for whatever reason, I'd do it on a Wednesday. It was a week, and I still do. It's a powerful ritual in my life that I feel changed the way I did being a dad.
Well, we've got another dad who's here who is talking to a tribe of dads regularly through his weekly podcast, which is called Dad Tired, and his Facebook community of dads who want to do it right, and now a new book called Dad Tired and Loving It. Jared Lopes joining us on Family Life Today. Jared, welcome.
Thank you so much.
You hear Dave talk about this, and don't you go, I should just quit even trying to be a dad because...
Yeah, well, I was taking notes. We are in the digital age, so I'm like looking at my phone. How do I add these notes down? This is real good stuff. Yeah. I'm a young dad still trying to figure it out, so I'm on the other end.
You started your Dad Tired blog how many years ago?
It's about 4 years now, yeah.
What's been the biggest piece of advice or the biggest feedback? What is it that you've learned that's kind of your biggest takeaway? Because you've written a lot and shared a lot with guys, but you've been a learner along the way as well.
Totally. Yeah. One thing that has surprised me as I've traveled the country and spent a lot of time with a lot of dads my age is I think the pendulum swung really hard and most guys my age are really engaged dads. Like if you go to any park across America right now and you just spend some time there, you're actually going to see a ton of dads playing with their kids. It's really remarkable. And I think that's just all of us kind of saying this is what we wish we would have had as kids. But most dads and most Christian dads still say, yeah, I'm engaged. I feel like I'm doing pretty decent at like playing with my kids and being there for my kids. But I don't totally know what it means to be a spiritual leader. Like, and actually most guys would say, I have no clue what it means to be a spiritual leader. I know how to do really well at my work. I know I've got some good hobbies, but like leading my family towards Jesus, totally clueless.
And did you have a clue when you started on the journey?
Not at all.
Because your dad left when you were three.
Three, yeah.
So no modeling. I remember having a conversation with an author and a speaker, Vodi Bakum, who Vodi's story, his dad was out of the picture. He actually, his mom shipped him off to an uncle for a summer who kind of helped him grow up and man up a little bit. But he said, I didn't have anything to fall back on. He said, here's what I had. I had the Bible. Yeah. And you know what? He said, that's more powerful than having had a dad. If guys will just get into the Word, the Scriptures will train you on what you're supposed to do. You read it and you say, I should be doing that. Yeah. You do it and it makes a difference.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so for even this last week, me and my son, there was some behavioral stuff that I was trying to work out with him, and I was getting a little bit frustrated with him because I had high expectations on his behavior and just felt like he wasn't being disciplined. I just feel like the Holy Spirit was telling me, like, well, are you the man you want your son to be? I'm not. I haven't been disciplined. And so I thought, I don't need to just tell him what to do. I need to show him what to do, which is makes sense in the Scriptures. Jesus was always a show and tell kind of guy, not just tell and tell, but show and tell. And so I'm like, all right, I need to tell my kids, but I also need to show them. And so I just told my son, like, let's read the Bible together every morning. Let's wake up before the rest of the family and let's study the Word of God. I want you to be disciplined, but I also want to be disciplined. Let's do this together. And we just started going through James 1, which, you know, you go through any book of the Bible, but especially James, it's like real practical stuff,
right?
You know? And so we just read it. I always tell guys, like, you don't need to know how to say things in Greek and Hebrew and be the best theologian. Literally just read the Bible, just read it, and then try to practice doing what it says. And so we just read James 1:19, which says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So we memorized that together. And I said, if we can memorize it all week, we'll celebrate by having some ice cream at the end of the week. And so my son memorized that. And then we just tried to practice all week. Okay, I want to be quick to listen here. I want to be slow to become angry. I want to be slow to speak. There's no like deep theological stuff happening as far as like you need to go real deep. It's just literally read the Bible and practice doing what it says to do.
So Jared, as a young dad, what is your goal? I know you say early in the book that so many of us want to raise moral children. You're like, that's not good enough. There's a bar higher. What is the bullseye you're shooting for?
For me, conversations that we often have in our home is I tell my kids, this is what I want your kids to be like and what I want their kids to be like. My children, like especially my son who's 8, my daughter who's 6, they will often already be thinking about their future kids by God's grace, if he gives them kids one day, what they'll be like. And in fact, we just had this conversation a couple of days ago telling my son, like, what will it be like when you tell your kids about Jesus one day? And what will it be like when your kids tell their kids about Jesus one day? My end goal is to be sitting on a really comfortable chair in the living room and to see a bunch of kids and grandkids loving each other and talking and playing, and that they would love the Lord. That's my goal. And that when I die, there's just a huge legacy of people who are following Jesus. So that's what I'm trying to do.
And it's amazing that you didn't come from that.
Right.
And so this is a whole new legacy.
Yeah.
That you're the one that gets to start it.
Yeah. I had always heard about, like, you can be the one that breaks the rhythms of sin in your life and legacy of sin and kind of these patterns that have been passed down. And that's a heavy weight, man. But it is the only thing I'm striving for. By God's grace, if I'm an old man and I'm laying in my deathbed, the only thing that I'll be excited about is to hear my kids say, man, my dad, like, he stumbled his way through it. He didn't always get it right, but man, did that guy love Jesus. And I'm so thankful he told me about him.
I always think of 3 John, the little book of 3 John, verse 4. And John there is talking about his spiritual children, but certainly it applies to our physical children. John says, I have no greater joy than this. Stop and think. No greater joy. Nothing makes me happier, brings me deeper joy than this, to know that my children are walking in the truth. And I'll tell you, as a dad with grown kids and now grandkids, if one of my kids calls and says, I got a raise, I mean, it's a huge raise and a promotion, and we're going to be able to pay off our college debt. We got a new car. or we're going to have a baby. All of those, you go, I'm rejoicing with you. But if they're calling and they're not walking in the truth, the new car and the baby and all of that, they're still a burden. Mm. But if they call and say, I got fired today and the car broke down, but they're walking in the truth, I have no greater joy than that. Mm. And I just think as moms and dads, we got to recognize just exactly what you're saying. Whether you're sitting in the chair or not, when you look around and you see, you know what, my kids love Jesus and they're walking it and they're trying to live it out, there's nothing that brings contentment and peace to your soul like that. And so if that's the end product now, how do you get from here to there? And that's what you're stumbling your way toward as you work through this, right?
If you think my main goal here is just to go to work so I can pay our bills, I mean, of course guys are going to get bored with that. Like that's not a big story. But when you describe what you just said, like, no, my main goal is that my kids know and love Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's like worth getting up and like that's worth putting in the hard work.
Yeah.
One of the things you say in the book is the greatest gift you can give your children is Jesus. And the best way to point them toward Jesus is by loving your wife like Jesus loves the church. I love that you said that because you don't necessarily think of that as a dad. What can I do for my kids? Oh, it's loving my wife. Right. And you talk in that chapter, it's called Satan's Cesspool, yeah. Which was a great chapter. Talk about that. Why is that important for our kids?
Well, it's the greatest picture of the gospel that they'll ever see. To be able to say, I know you fully and I love you fully. Where else will they get that? Where else will they actually see that, right? They'll be in tons of relationships, but my goal is, and I think the way that God designed marriage is that they'll look at mommy and daddy and say, wow, they're both really sinful and messy, but they love each other fully, which is a glimpse of the God that loves them, knows you fully, and loves you fully. That's why I'm always trying to figure that out myself and push guys to like that. That's the greatest gift you can give your kids, more than any devotional you read to them, you know, taking them to Sunday school and all that. The greatest glimpse of the gospel is to them to see two people who know each other fully and love each other fully is the glimpse of the gospel that they'll have, real life, which is why when we're together and things are hard, if I were to bail, if I were to say, oh, this is really hard, I'm going to leave, it's an inaccurate view of the gospel for them. And of course, God's grace is good. There's no boundaries of God's grace. Praise God. But that's what we're trying to do. And I think that's what God designed marriage for, is to give our kids a glimpse of the good news.
And were you good at that when you got married? Were you like, I am good at being a husband? How did that go for you?
No, I've never said that.
But yeah. You did share a story of going down a river.
Yeah.
And you compared your marriage or being married to that experience.
Yeah. So I had some friends say, hey, Jared, do you want to float down the river together? And I love being on the water. So I'm like, absolutely. This sounds like a blast. So I show up. I'm in board shorts and flip-flops. That's in California. We're going to get on inner tubes. We're going to float down the river and we'll have a blast. So we're a bunch of young guys and we're floating down the river. And one of my buddies says, hey, do you want to go in my inflatable kayak and I'll jump in your inner tube? We'll swap. Before we head home. And I said, that sounds great. I'd love to jump in the kayak. So I get in the kayak. What I didn't know was they were about ready to head home. So they had actually exited the river and I'm on my inflatable kayak and I'm just kind of up a ways by myself floating down the river. And I'm laying there and I'm looking up at the trees and the water and I can hear the birds. And it's just like, I'm so relaxed. This is exactly why I came. I came to have a relaxing float down the river today. And all of a sudden behind me, I hear these guys say, hey man, have you ever done this river before? And I'm like, done this river, you know, like what does that even mean? And I turn around and I look and there are two guys in wetsuits. They have life jackets and helmets on in their whitewater kayaks. And I'm like, this is overkill, you know, like it's, geez, man, you know, calm down. And they pull up to my little inflatable kayak and say, yeah, man, I just wanted to tell you to be careful because Satan's cesspool's right up ahead. And I'm like, okay, Satan's cesspool. And I kid you not, like as those words came out of their mouth, I felt like the current of the river just immediately picked up and they took off ahead and I could see them just drop off the horizon. And as I'm getting closer, I see that they're actual photographers, professional photographers taking pictures of these kayakers going down this waterfall. And I'm like,
including the idiot in the inflatable.
Yeah, this is it, man. Yeah. This is my death. And so I hit Satan's cesspool, hit the waterfall, and immediately my kayak folds in half. Like there was just no chance. chance. I get flipped out. The pressure of the waterfall is just pushing me down. It's the one and only time in my life I was praying for my life. God, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. And, you know, kind of a Jonah story. I just spit up on shore somehow. You know, I showed up that day to have a relaxing float down the river, and I ended up almost losing my life. And I always say, feels a little bit like marriage, you know, most, and I officiate a lot of weddings now, and I see a lot of people show up. I always say, it looks like you showed up in board shorts and flip-flops, and I just want to smack you across the head and say, like, dude, you're about to hit Satan's cesspool. Wipe that smile across, like, off your face. You're about to get hit hard. And, because most people are signing up for marriage because they think it's going to be just really fun and awesome.
And make them happy.
Yeah. I get to marry my best friend. We could travel the world together. And you talk to any married person longer than like 6 weeks, and you're like, this is a lot harder than what I thought it was going to be.
My wife and I, anytime we're doing marriage counseling with couples, I will always say, you need to know this is going to be harder than you imagine. And she will always say, and it's fun and it's worth it. Like she wants to come along behind and just say, don't try to, you know, scare them out of this. Yeah. I'm not trying to scare anybody out of anything. Here's what we need to make sure. We need to make sure that when we're in it and it gets hard, we can remember somebody saying, oh, they said this was going to happen. Yeah. Not so that they're thinking something must be wrong with me or with her or this marriage, but oh, yeah, somebody said there are rapids ahead, yeah. And don't be surprised when you hit them, and you can come out the other side surviving it.
Right. The beauty is when those rapids hit and the white water hits, some would say, because the white water is hit in our own marriage, some would say to my wife, like, why don't you leave? You can find a better husband. You can find a husband who's more engaged and will treat you better than that.
And when you can float down the river with someone else.
Yeah, there's a better kayak. There's a better river, whatever, however you want to take that analogy. But what my wife would say is, I'm not going to leave him because Christ has not left me in my mess. And that is the picture of the gospel we want our kids to see. Even in when mommy and daddy are messy and sinful, they don't leave each other. They know each other fully and love each other fully. And again, that's the good news that I'm trying to point my kids to.
And how do you guys put your marriage first before your kids? When the kids are so demanding, you're exhausted, that's going on. How do you make marriage a priority?
A lot like the fasting day, you have to put things on your calendar. I had a mentor tell me if it doesn't make your calendar or it's not reflective on your bank account, you actually don't value it as much as you say you do. And so your time and your money always prove out what you actually value. And so for us, it's literally putting scheduled days on the calendar where it's just mommy and daddy who are now husband and wife. We schedule things and we're pretty strict about it and protecting those things. We even actually schedule date nights with our kids every month on the calendar as well. But it has to hit the calendar because you don't just unintentionally find yourself being a better husband or having this great marriage.
You know, I'm looking at a line in your book, and now we're going from your marriage back to being a dad, yeah. Right? And by the way, I just got a new title for our next marriage book, honey. We can call it Welcome to Satan's Cesspool. You know, happily ever after. Anyway, that's a whole other thing.
I don't think that's going to be a New York Times. No,
I don't think I'd pick that up as a wife. Maybe the men would.
Yeah. But it's so true. It is exactly the truth. But same thing is, you know, there's this same similar thing becoming a parent. It's not going to be that hard. Right. You know, raising kids can't be. And you look at others and think they're not doing it that well. Mine will be so much easier. But here's a line in your book I love. It says, raising kids who are passionately in love with Jesus seems to involve two things. And I wonder if you could do a show of hands, you know, what would people say? What are those two things? Yeah. And you say a dad who is himself passionately in love with Jesus and one who is willing to teach his kids about him in every situation.
That's right.
Talk about that.
God can do whatever he's going to do. And so there are many people who are following Jesus right now passionately who didn't have moms and dads who were passionately following him. And that's just the grace of God and the goodness of God. But our kids are much more set up to fall in love with Jesus when we love Jesus. It's hard to, and kids sniff it out. I mean, you guys know this. It's hard to talk to my kids about something and that I'm not actually passionate about. And so you want your kids to fall in love with Jesus? Like, ask yourself, are you yourself in love with the Lord? And so that's the first thing. And then the second thing there is using every opportunity. And I think oftentimes we as men, there's a book that talks about men's brains are waffles and women's brains are spaghetti. So men have compartments, right? We can kind of, there's this compartment and this compartment, this compartment. And for a man, they think, okay, I want my kids to love the Lord. What will Jesus time look like? what are those 15 to 30 minutes a day that I need to take out so that my kids will fall in love with Jesus? And what I'm trying to do in the book is say, your kids need way more than a 15-minute devotional time. For sure, do the 15-minute devotional time. But they also need a daddy who's going to, in every situation, be trying to figure out what is the lesson that I can point my kids back to Christ in this moment. That's what Jesus did. It wasn't just let's sit down and study the scriptures for 15 minutes. It's let's walk and talk. And as we're walking and talking, let me show you about the kingdom.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting for me as a dad to think there's no way I can do that unless it's an overflow.
That's right.
I can't read a book and, oh, I'm going to make this part of 10 a.m. and then again at 1. It's got to be I'm plugged in and it's flowing out of me into my kids. Yeah. And so every mom, and the interesting thing, it's mom and dad.
Absolutely.
Or mom or dad if you're single parents. Mm-hmm. But it's like, man, the thing I'd take away from this discussion is, what about me?
Yeah.
So easy to focus on my kids. They're not being the kids. They're not obeying me the way. What about me looking in the mirror and saying, I'm going to start with me and my walk with Jesus? And almost like that's all I'm going to do, and it will overflow. It's going to be contagious because it's going to be the fruit of my life.
Right. Well, and we've talked about this already this week, but don't try to tackle that thing on your own either.
Right.
Don't say, okay, what about me? I'm on my own to try to make this work. Have community. Have other guys in your life. Be a part of a local faith community and be interacting. Get other men engaged with you. And maybe get involved in the closed Facebook group that Jared's got going on where you've got a virtual community online. Now, I would say don't try to substitute local community for virtual community, right? You'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's always my fear is that guys would, you know, think that they're getting enough through an online community, which is it's not true.
Yeah, the reality is your virtual community is helpful, but it's not the same as face-to-face. It's not the same as a guy you can call and say, can we have breakfast because I need to talk about something. And so...
Yeah, I always say it this way. You need both digital and analog.
That's right. So
analog is real people.
Yeah. You can find out more about the virtual community that Jared's got going on when you go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and find out more about his book. But again, don't let that keep you from life-on-life connection with guys at your local church, guys in your community, guys who are going to point you in the right direction. You're going to keep pointing one another in the right direction. Go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to get a copy of Jared Lope's book, Dad Tired and Loving It, Stumbling Your Way to Spiritual Leadership. Again, you can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-FL-TODAY. That's 1-800-358-6329. Again, on our website, there's information about Jared Lope's blog and about the community of guys who are gathering online. Our website is familylifetoday.com. And get in touch with us if you'd like a copy of the book or if there are other resources we can help you with. Speaking of resources, I wrote a book called The Christian Husband that's about spiritual leadership in your marriage, and we want to make that book available to listeners who can help support the Ministry of Family Life with a donation today. Family Life Today exists to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We believe godly marriages and families can change the world, one home at a time. And so when you invest in this ministry, you're helping provide practical, biblical help and hope for marriages and families. Hundreds of thousands of people who are tuned in every day, people listening all around the world to this program, accessing articles on the internet, going to events that we're hosting, or using the resources we've developed. You make that possible. You help disciple these young couples when you invest in the Ministry of Family Life Today. And again, we'll send you a copy of the book, The Christian Husband, as our way of saying thank you when you donate today. Go to familylifetoday.com to donate, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY and donate over the phone. We appreciate your partnership with us. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping to extend the reach of this ministry to more and more husbands and wives and moms and dads. And we hope you can join us again tomorrow. Jared Lopes will be here again to continue talking about what spiritual leadership in your home looks like. And by the way, one of the things it looks like, we'll talk about this tomorrow, is messing up in front of your kids. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.